I want to say, can you hear me? Okay, good. Oh, good. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. Some of us, our mothers have passed away, but yet we still remember them. And they've played a very large part in our lives. This message that I was asked to deliver to you has been both a blessing and a curse. My brain sometimes tries to find the direction of where I'm supposed to go, and it's helpful when it's like, okay, you're gonna speak on one purpose, or you're gonna speak on unity. But when you got something that has to come together, it's like, oh my goodness, how am I gonna do this? But God has a way of making things come together, and sometimes at the last minute, Mrs. Thoman's song, An Oak of Righteousness, I Want to Live a Life for Jesus, was a very good example of bringing those two together. And especially having that visual example of a family coming up here and singing that those words to you, to our faith family, was a awesome, incredible, powerful example of bringing purpose and family together. So also some of the words that Kim had said to me earlier, I hope the songs that I pick for you are the ones that are going to, you know, apply to your message, because basically I was so busy this week, Kim got a hold of me and said, are there particular songs you want? And I said, no, you go with it, run with the Spirit wherever the Spirit takes you. And God is a miraculous God, and the words and the songs that were picked fit right into what He wants you to hear today. Especially this picture—I don't know if you've seen, you can see it—but it's a picture of all these nations, all these different cultures coming to the cross. And I thought it was an image of having one purpose and being in one family. Yesterday, Corey graduated from school. My youngest boy. He was going to go to Malone University years ago, and the day before he went there, he said to me, Dad, I don't think I'm supposed to go to Malone University. And he had scholarships and all these things, and I was like, are you kidding me, kid? You know, I said, well, are you sure? Have you prayed about it? He said, yeah, I'm definitely sure I'm not supposed to go to Malone University. I don't think that's where I'm supposed to go. So I said, okay, you make the phone call. You know, you stand up, you be responsible, you make the phone call, and you talk to him. So he did. So he took a year off, and he worked at Thoman's IGA. I used to call it IGA, because where I grew up, we didn't have IGA. So when I first saw the IGA, I told Carmen, hey, let's go to the IGA. And she's like, what? And I'm like, what? So anyway, yeah, I noticed there weren't any periods in between the thing now. And I think there should be, by the way. So anyway, long story short, Corey went and worked with them, prayed about it, decided that God wanted him to go to be a fireman. So he found that a school called Hocking Hills Community College. He went down there. He got all the way up to becoming a paramedic. He was moving along with flying colors. And then one day he realized, I don't think I can do this. And I'm like, okay, why can't you do this? He goes, what if someone dies on me? I've put all this work into them, and all of a sudden they die. And I'm like, son, that's between you and God and how you're going to handle that. You know, I mean, it's your call. And he goes, but I found something else. It's called geo-environmental science. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. He goes, don't worry, I'll explain it later. So he goes down that path. And as he went down that path, he found out that's exactly where he's supposed to be. Now, while he was at Hocking College, he got married. And he was also working as the RD for resident director for two of the largest dorms. And he got a full-time job. And so he was doing all this stuff, bouncing all this stuff. But he graduated yesterday with honors. And it was so funny because we were talking on the way home when out there where we were living with Carnal Lane, there was a huge rock pile. And Corey would find him at the rock pile, going through rocks, looking at different rocks. And here and behold, he's graduating with a degree in rocks. Okay. Okay. Wow. But the thing is, his purpose, in some ways, God was leading him down, and he was trying to find his purpose in the way that God created him and how he was going to do things. But the one thing I want to bring to you is yesterday during graduation was a combination of purpose, okay, purpose for people, how they've lived their lives and where they're going, and family. There were all kinds of family there talking about, you know, hey, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do this? You know, what is your purpose in life now? So I wanted to bring that to you guys. There is a purpose for each and every human being that God has created. And some of what you're going to see is going to be an abrupt halt to your brain. It is going to knock you out and hopefully reset you. Some of you may already know what the purpose is and struggle with it. So did I struggled with it when I first heard purpose. Purpose for the human being, purpose for the Christian. So I hope that as we move along, God touches you, the Spirit speaks to you. And if you don't get an answer yet or an understanding, hopefully it will start a process of you moving on in your life and understanding what our purpose is. Okay, the purpose of this is to change. There we go. All right. Our God-given purpose, Isaiah 43:7, bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. We are God's people. We were made for God's glory. Now, before I became a Christian and I heard about this, I thought of God as being a very selfish person. He just made me like some sort of G.I. Joe for him to play with and for his fun and happiness. But later on, I came to find out that this is a blessing. This is a privilege to have this purpose to glorify God. Let me share this with you. The word glory, as related to God in the Old Testament, bears with it the idea of greatness, of splendor. In the New Testament, the word translated glory means dignity, honor, praise, and worship. Putting the two together, we find that glorifying God means to acknowledge his greatness and give him honor by praising and worshiping him, primarily because he and he alone deserves to be praised, honored, and worshiped. God's glory is the essence of his nature, and we give glory to him by recognizing that essence. In the song that we heard, An Oak of Righteousness, if you listen to the words, she was glorifying God. She was saying, my purpose is to love Jesus. My purpose is to bring him glory, to praise and honor him. And that is not only her purpose, that is all of our purpose. And as we grow in our relationship with God, our Father, and come to understand and love him on a deeper and deeper and a deeper level and understand who he is, glorifying him becomes more and more easy. It becomes second nature to us. It becomes our purpose. See, we're given a choice to give glory to many things. I'm not a football. I played football until everybody grew up really taller than me and everything. But my son Bradley loved football, okay? And when I moved to Ohio, I did not understand the concept of being a Buckeye. And, you know, we're the Virginia Cavaliers, and that's not a team you really want to root for. You know, but being a Buckeye and being of Michigan, you know, there's that rivalry. And you see all these flags and all this stuff going on. And people, to me, don't realize they're glorifying that team to a point where they skip out meeting with brothers and sisters, to the point where they're throwing all their money and all their time into worshiping a team, and yet to come and worship God and to glorify God is a burden. Or way back when I was growing up, people used to glorify supermodels. You know, people do it with athletes. Sometimes you even do it with yourself. But that glory, that purpose that we have to glorify something is built into us, and it's supposed to be given to God. Because He's the only one that truly deserves our glory and our worship. And sometimes, unfortunately, and I don't want to put a stinker on Mother's Day, we worship our children. We worship our children. Or we want our children to worship us. And that isn't the way it's supposed to be. Because I found also that as I grew in maturing and loving God, I found that as I grew towards God, I learned how to properly give love to my children, how to properly give love to my wife, how to properly give love to my fellow man. Because I learned that my purpose was to serve God. Pastor Rick Warren says you were born by His purpose, His will, and for His purpose, His will. In short, it's not about you. And that's the stickler right there. It's not about you. Our society is going to tell you it's about you. Sometimes in the community of faith, the songs that we sing, it's about us, if you listen to the words. So it's very important to listen to those words too. But like I said, the song today, it wasn't about us. It was about Jesus. It was about God. In short, it's not about you. Many people try to use God for their own selfish actualization, but that is a reversal of nature and is doomed to failure. You were made for God, not vice versa. And life is about letting God use you for His purposes, not you using Him for your own purposes. So as we look at this and we find out that we have a purpose and it's not about us, it's about God. And it's also about loving others because that brings glory to God. That is us on an individual part. But as a family, as a scheme of being a community, a communal purpose, a common purpose in unity, Jesus said this, we have one family. My prayer for all of them is that they will be of one heart and mind, just as you and I are, Father. That just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us, and the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, the glorious unity of being one as we are. We are to be one family. The Bible says there is no Jew or Gentile, no servant or free, no woman or man. It's an even playing field. I'm not saying that that each and every church is supposed to be segregated. Martin Luther King said one of the most segregated parts of a week is the church hours. And here's the thing, I'm probably out of 150 million square miles here, and I'm probably one of the only minorities you guys got. So it's not like you're going to bust people in, okay, for that simple fact, okay? But the thing is, if another person out there looks different from you, eats something totally different, and speaks a little different, yet they are a Christian, they are your brother and sister. Just as much as the person sitting next to you here in this congregation right now. We are all unified. We are all called to be one, to love each other. John Piper said, Spirit-rooted Christ-manifesting, truth-cherishing, humbly loving unity is designed by God to have at least two aims, a witness to the world and an acclamation of the glory of God. See, when we come together as brothers and sisters, we are witnessing to the world that we follow a different God, a God that brings us together, a God that brings a broken people that are sinful, that make mistakes together, and that try to live communally to glorify Him and to love one another. And that in itself is our purpose as a family. So Dick had asked me, why did I come back to the Mennonite church? What drew me back to the Mennonite church? I grew up Roman Catholic. I want you to know now, before I start, I'm not going to down any one denomination. I'm not here to do that. You know, God does not like disunity. He doesn't like someone coming up and trying to bring division amongst His people. And I'm not here to do that. But I am here to explain why I'm over here. And Nehemiah, when they came back to fix the wall, when Israel came back to repair the wall in Jerusalem, there were different family groups. And Nehemiah was in charge of saying, okay, you guys tackle that gate, you guys tackle that gate, you guys tackle this side of the wall. And each group was, their purpose was to build up that part of the wall. And in the end, that wall would be a unified wall to protect Jerusalem. There is a reason why God called me to be on your part of the wall. And there's a reason I would hope that you pray to discern why you are here on this part of the wall. Okay? So I was brought up in the Roman Catholic Church. I wanted to try to get a picture of when I was baptized as a child. And my sister and I, you can tell the difference between my sister and I because both of us were wearing gowns. Back then, they put the babies in baptismal dresses. And I wish they had done something to make me look different than my sister, because I think my gown looked better than hers. And my hair was just as long as hers. It was horrible. There are good things I learned when I was in the Roman Catholic Church. I learned the importance of community. I learned the importance of revering God. I learned about good and bad, that there is a moral system. I learned about holiness oh my goodness, that God was God and He's supreme and He's sovereign. But there was as I grew up and I left the church, I drifted. There was nothing to really hold me. I had no relationship. There was something deeper. I was afraid of the scriptures. I was afraid of the word. So I didn't really open it up. It wasn't for me to open up. It was for somebody else that had more brains to open up and read to me and tell me what it meant. And so there was no foundation for me to stay. I went into the military. I joined the Marine Corps when I was 17. I excelled in the Marine Corps and in the military. My father was in the military. I just had that mindset. This is hierarchy. You pay attention to the guy above you. You follow his orders. And then you do what you need to do with the guys below you to make sure that the mission gets completed. The military became my God. Okay? So when I finished my time in the Marine Corps, I decided I was going to get married at some point, and I didn't want the Marine Corps to tell us what to do. I thought the Army would be better for us as a family. So I left the Marine Corps and went into the 82nd Airborne, transferred over to there, and joined them as a scout sniper. So I spent my time in the 82nd in the Army doing combat work and did different things in different theaters. And when I was in Desert Shield, Desert Storm, a man came to me. His name was Sergeant Sims. I told you this once before. He was a Southern Baptist gentleman, and he was very outward with the gospel and the word, and he shared Christ with me, and from that point, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I did not understand what Lord meant yet. I understood what Savior meant, and that was great, because if I bit the bullet at any time, I had a feeling I was going to be going to heaven. But all this Lord stuff, I had to grow into. But I fell through the cracks. So by the time we left Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and we went on, I kind of returned back to my old way of life. But I knew that something different happened to me. I became a Christian. And I ended up meeting reconnecting with a guy named Todd Newcomer, which is Carmen's brother. And I called him up and we joked and stuff, and he told me that his sister was still available, and that's a long story. I'm sorry, honey. And I came up to West Liberty, and we talked, and a few months later, we ended up getting married. Closer to a year. It's like 9 months or so. And but through Carmen, I made connection with Carl Newcomer and Ben Everly, and who was the pastor of Bethel Mennonite Church at the time. And he and both of those guys started sharing with me Anabaptist beliefs. They didn't shove it down my throat. They didn't force it on me. They loved me. At first I thought, oh, they're going to be anti-military, therefore they're going to hate me. They did not hate me. They loved me. And that led me to ask questions about peace and loving your fellow neighbor, and but mostly living your life for Jesus in a real way. And so through that, I became a conscientious objector. I put in the paperwork soon after Corey was born, and I said, I can't do this no more. I cannot pull the trigger, and I cannot train anybody to do that. For me, God is calling me not to kill another human being just because I've been ordered to. It's plain and simple. Because when it all boiled down to it, remembering all those times in combat, all those times on operations, I had nothing against these guys. But I had to drive and stoke either a mindset of making them an enemy so that I would pull the trigger and hopefully be able to deal with the consequences later. Okay? So I got out. And here's the thing. The first church I ended up going to was a Mennonite church. It was Bethel. And God is perfect. Christ is perfect. And I made the biggest mistake of my life. I thought you guys would be perfect too. And I'm sorry, because you're not. And what happened was, when I got there and started getting in the mix of it and looking behind the scenes and helping out here and preaching and teaching, I started seeing the ugliness of people in the church. And that just, it was a disillusionment for me. And I ran. I got very, very angry. And I ran. And I ran from God. Because I thought, what did you do? But here's the thing. I found out I made the church my God. At the time, I still didn't make God, Christ, my Lord. I made the church my God, and that was wrong. And I've settled that. I preached at Bethel a few weeks ago, and I brought that up, and I apologized, and I said, guys, I'm so sorry that I put you in that place. You should have never been there. And they didn't throw me out, and if they chased me down, I just lived right across the street. So I wouldn't have far to run. But anyway, I ran. So what ended up happening was, Carmen, as being a loyal Christian woman and strong, she said, I'm not going to give up on God. Even if my husband is not going to take this role yet of being the spiritual leader in the house, we're still going to follow God. So we ended up drifting, and she found this church in Lima, because we had moved to Lima, and it was a mega church. And it was very easy for me to come back to church and hide, because they have a few thousand people. No one really gets to know who you are. You get back, you enjoy, you bring your coffee in. Nothing against mega churches. It's just, it's very easy for me to become no one there. And if you know me, it's hard for me to be nobody, because I'm a loudmouth. But God provided that avenue for me, and I think it was meant for that, because even though within a month of 1,000 people, he still ministered to me and talked to me and was working on me. So then when we moved back here to this area, we ended up going to Hillcrest Baptist Church. It's a Southern Baptist church. And that was great for me, because one of the things that they really focused on was the authority of God's word. There was no question about it. God's word is authority. And I studied God's word. They believed in the utilization of the spiritual gifts. I learned about being a preacher and a teacher and all these other things that God gifted in me, and to be used by him in any way he could use me, and I allowed him to build the kingdom and to extend the kingdom to people. So I also learned about evangelism and not being shy about sharing the gospel of the word of the Lord with people. So there are many good things I learned. And yet there were other things that I kind of struggle with. But that's okay. And what happened was we were there for about 8 years. The last 2 years, Carmen and I and the family felt that God was calling us to move. And so we prayed with the pastor for 2 years. We did not want to leave in a huff. We didn't want him to even think that we had problems with him. We wanted his blessing and we wanted his guidance. So as we prayed with him and his family, 2 years later, he came and said, "Hey, Ramon, I really think that you guys are called to join this church down the road called Quest. It's meeting in the bingo parlor. And I'm like, isn't that a cult? You know, because honestly, I didn't know they were a church. I just thought they were a cult. And, I'm messing that up. So anyway, long story short, we joined them, and they were, at that time, there were 20 people. So God took us into that family and started us to get us out of our comfort zone. You know, Carmen is a backgrounds person. She doesn't like to do things up front. But she started working a lot with the children. I started doing other things and working on the church board, and God's grooming me, and we're helping each other and learning about each other in the family and the overall Christian church. And that was a good time, and that was a horrible time, because sometimes when you're growing a church and the idea is you want to grow, you get lost in numbers. And sometimes you get disillusioned about, you know, who's really doing the growth. And there's a struggle, and there's a lot of things that happen in the background. So growing a church isn't an easy thing either. But God taught us about things and about ourselves and about our purpose. I had a crash some odd years ago. And a mental, emotional, physical, you name it, spiritual crash. And for a week, I had to take time out. I had to get reset. And at the end of that week, close to the end of that time, I rededicated my life to God. Let me put it this to I can speak a mile a minute now. But when I entered into that zone, all I could do was stutter. And for months after that time, all I could do was stutter. I could not find words. I know, that's crazy for me, right? But God met me. Jesus met me at that time when all else disappeared. And I was holding to the end of, on the end of that rope. And I let go, Christ caught me. I realized wholeheartedly what my purpose was to glorify God and to be with his people and to bring people into his people. So I said, I need to follow this calling that you placed on my life years ago to become a pastor. But as I looked at the places that God had taken me in the past, and looked at their doctrine, I realized there are some things that I struggle with. But I remembered what I saw in the Mennonite church, the goodness and the reality. And it spoke volumes to me. So I reached out to Pastor Dick to be my mentor. And Carmen and I prayed long and hard about it. There was a year that when I had stepped away after that broken period that we just kind of just healed with God and let God heal us. And then we came here. Am I going the wrong way? Yes. But there's one thing I learned. Charles Spurgeon says, there are in truth but two denominations upon this earth, the church and the world. It has made it easier for me to see the connection of this Mennonite church to that Nazarene church, to this Southern Baptist church, because there is the world and then there is Christ. There is the world and there is the church. And God taking me through that path made me realize some things. First and foremost, I am a Christian. I am not a Mennonite. I am not a Southern Baptist person. I am a Christian within a Mennonite family. I am Ramon. My last name is Lyonnais. You know what I mean? Or however you want to take that. It makes it so much easier that we understand that. And some of the words that we're singing, I think it was the doxology. It was like the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. Where it talks about the things that we believe. Those things are believed through Christian churches. God made us all different. Diversity is a good thing, but disunity is not. We are supposed to be diverse and different, and that is great. It shows the manifestation, creativity of God, but we are not supposed to be broken and disunified. We're not supposed to be have disunity. There is more that Christian churches have in common than we believe. We have a lot more in common than you guys might think. I know it's easy to think that, okay, a Mennonite church is so much more different than another church. Believe it or not, no, we're not. There are a few things we have that we see things differently, but in all, we're a Christian church. Like a body that has different parts, denominations manifest God's grace in the world in various ways. The Southern Baptists like to focus a lot on evangelism. Well, we like to focus a lot on peace, justice, and love. You know, the Nazareans focus a lot on sanctification and holiness. But these are all aspects of Christ and a Christian life. It's just those things that we kind of want to bring forth. And we should, because not one church is perfect and going to show it all. So, my reasons for returning. It's funny. When I was looking at this stuff up, Palmer Becker is the one that actually provides all the information that we are using to do this series. And he broke it down to these top three of what it is to be and have an Anabaptist belief. Jesus is the center of our faith. I believe, I'm not saying that Jesus is not the center of a Southern Baptist person's faith or not the center of a Roman Catholic's faith, but I believe that even in our past, and hopefully we continue or go return to Jesus, we are radical believers in Christ to the point where we should really show a difference. And when I was in the military and I looked at you guys, you were different than me. Very much so. And in the way you do things and in the way you believe, I believe that Jesus is still the center of this denomination as it should be. And I still want to be part of that. I want to learn because I'm a Christ follower. Community is the center of our lives. Guys, I had to learn this the hard way. Community is the center of our lives. It's a good thing, and yet it could be a bad thing. There's a shadow side of everything. Community is the center of our lives, and yet we can all turn inward and be and shove out the outside. I just do that again. Yeah. We can shove out everything on the outside and not let anybody in. And we can't do that. So community is there to help one another, but yet also to be an example to other people and say, hey, look, guys, look at this is how community is really supposed to be. But here's the flip side. If we are going to be this close to each other, we're going to hurt one another. Because community and loving, faithful, God-loving community, we are imperfect, and we are going to hurt one another. The people that hurt me the most was my family. Because my heart was out to them. They were supposed to be there for me, and they hurt me. My sister knocked me out with a frying pan. My brothers chased me with knives. Okay? I deserved it. But we're going to do that. So, guys, if someone has hurt you or people have hurt you in this community, forgive them and let them know, if you have to. But follow the Spirit. But community is the center. Last, reconciliation is the center of our work. We are supposed to reconcile the world to God, and we are supposed to reconcile ourselves with each other, and I got to wrap this up. Last but not least was the fact that I grew up most of my life learning that violence was the answer to most everything. And it's not God's way. And within the community, this community of faith, I believe that this is where I can learn about that. I'm not talking about hating the military and all this other stuff. I'm talking about loving God, loving Christ, and loving my fellow man. And I believe that I can still learn that within the Mennonite Church. That is what you guys are holding on to and specializing in, if you want to put it that way. So to end this, I want to read this to you. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. In the end, it's all going to come together. The purpose and unity will come together. We will all come together and glorify God, glorify his name. All nations will come together. And that's what God is moving towards. And that's why it is so important to have purpose and unity. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this word that you've given us. Thank you, God, for just using me as a tool to glorify you, please, Lord, and to reach your people. I just pray that whatever has been said today, those parts that every individual needs to hear will be heard and planted within their hearts and minds, and that they carry it out and it grows within them to become what you want it to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.